Blog Talk Radio.
There's something happening here, but what it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop. Children, watch that sound. Everybody look what's going down. There's battle lines being drawn. Nobody's right if everybody's wrong. Young people speaking their minds are getting so much resistance from behind. Every time we stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. What a field day for the heat. A thousand people in the street singing songs and they're carrying signs. Mostly say hooray for our side. It's time we stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Your life, it will creep. It starts when you're always afraid. Step out of line, the man come and take you away. We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. We better stop now. What's that sound? Everybody look what's going on.
Good evening and welcome to Revolution Radio. Tonight is Wednesday, June 22nd, second day of spring, of summer, 2011. John F. Kennedy said that those who make peaceful revolution impossible will make violent revolution inevitable. What we have just experienced in the last several years is a constant push to make us revolt in a violent way so that various nefarious purposes have happened. But it's been very clear that our efforts to alert the country to the usurper, to remove him, have fell on deaf ears. And it's very clear that people have not allowed us to move through our legal system or our constitutional system to redress our grievances. So tonight on Revolution Radio, we're going to continue this effort to do so because we have to. We have all kinds of excuses as to why people have not moved forward. The latest, of course, is the implications for the first black president. Well, hello, America, you've been punked. That's exactly what he's hoping. No one would dare accuse him of treason. No one would dare basically execute the execution punishment. Anyway, so this evening we're going to keep going. I know that in the last several weeks we've been talking about, and also on my blog I've been talking about various actions that we need to take to keep going short of a full-on just sit-in, frankly, and blocking in that city until the work is done that needs to get done. But tonight we're happy to have three guests with us. First is Dean Haskins. Many of you have heard of Dean. I've put a link in the show description for him. But he wrote a very excellent couple of letters, and he has written many articles for Canada Free Press, basically calling out the misprison of felony, reporting the crime that Obama committed on April 27th, 2011, by claiming and releasing a forged electronic image of what he called his long-form birth certificate. The release of that, in combination with WorldNet Daily's book, Jerome Corsi's book, on Where's the Birth Certificate, plus, again, the media just shutting it all down, to some extent has pulled the rug out from, or, in my view, just really despite the fact that there have been millions of views, for example, on the forgery, that it's, the issue is not gaining the traction that it needs to and so forth. People just want to continue to let this go. Congress is not doing anything. So Dean has stepped forward to do some work, and we're happy to have him here this evening. We're going to talk with Dean first, and then we're going to welcome again Gary Wilmot and Kathy Gatto, who we had on a couple of weeks ago to talk about the new civic action effort, letter writing, postcards. We're now talking about a national press conference, perhaps some kind of major conference, various other tools to move forward with the eligibility issue. We are staring down the gun of, a number of candidates out there that will either be Obama-lite or just like him, or others who are Bilderberger types. We're still looking for the right candidate. We don't know if we have any possibility of finding one, but the news is so bad for Obama in terms of people going away, he's got to steal this election. Quietly, he's passed an executive order that basically allows prosecutorial discretion, letting illegal aliens stay in the country under certain conditions. There have been the signs of money laundering going on again with the stealing of 1.7 million people's personal accounts, just like what happened in 2008. And the lottery that Obama is running around by asking people to buy a ticket, $5 ticket, to get a ticket with or a dinner with Obama. So in any case, we're facing a situation where Obama could just steal it, especially if we have a third party candidate going in. Ron Paul, you know, God love him. And at the same time, why is he running? He has no chance, in my view, of winning. In any case, let me say hello to the chat room. Good evening. Hi, Nancy, and hello, all guests. And I'm going to welcome our first guest this evening, Dean Haskins. Dean, good evening.
Good evening, Kate.
Oh, nice that you could join us this evening.
Yeah, I'm honored to be here.
Yeah, I've put a link up to your bio, but I wondered if you wouldn't mind introducing yourself to our audience. You're a freelance writer, but also a musician and do a lot of other things. So if you could just give a sketch and tell us how you got to this letter on the misprison of felony and what you think is next. So please go ahead.
Well, I'll start with who I am. As you said, I've for many years been a musician. I'm a composer. I've toured the country with a gospel group for over 10 years. I've done a lot of studio work, and in my free time, which, you know, sometimes is quite a bit, sometimes is non-existent, you know, I have voraciously kept up with this issue. I was first introduced to it in the during the 2008 presidential campaign, and got involved with an organization that started out as democraticdisaster.com. They asked me to produce some videos, some YouTube videos, which I did. I started off with a video message to the electors, then a message to the congresspeople. You know, the organization was sending out letters because we knew at that point that there was an eligibility issue that was being ignored, and we felt constitutionally it was the duty of the electors and then of the members of Congress to at least investigate the matter. And, you know, through all of the letters and telephone calls and faxes and emails, the issue was completely ignored. I ended up taking over as chair of the new organization that was called Restore the Constitutional Republic. That went on for a while, and then I had some personal things that I needed to attend to, and I had to step back. But I never stepped back from the issue. I just stepped back from having a voice in the issue. Having kept up with it from that time in 2008, I got to the point a few months back that the frustration levels just continued to rise, just incredulous at the fact that there is no one in our government willing to even openly discuss this issue honestly, forthrightly. It just doesn't happen. And getting frustrated to that level, I started writing again and put some articles out. And one day I, keeping up with all of the news on the issue, I came across an article that you wrote that piqued my curiosity. Of course, the article dealing with misprision of felony. And I thought, well, you know, that's something that I am capable of doing. I am capable of writing a letter to my Virginia officials and inform them of the fact that I witnessed the commission of a felony. And I couched it in such a way that based on the verbiage of the law, it was my duty to report the commission of this felony, because if I didn't, then I would be guilty of misprision of felony. And so based on that, I hope to at least gain an ear from at least one of them to allow me to voice my concerns about the crime that I witnessed on April 27th. As I've reported, I did get a response, an email response from Senator Warner. And I turned around and wrote an article about that, because his response was just a completely insipid response to me. He basically said that the facts have consistently shown that President Obama was born in the United States as a natural-born American citizen. He is fully eligible to serve as president of our country. So I responded to him basically asking him what those facts were that he was relying on to know that not only was Obama born in the United States, but also what makes him a natural-born citizen. And then I also addressed the fact that in his email to me, he didn't even respond to the fact that, you know, my communication to him was not asking him what his opinion was of Barack Obama's eligibility to be president. My communication with him was the report of a crime and a request for an investigation into that crime, which at this point, because the question exists in with so many people in our country, I don't fully understand, other than the fact that they're complicit and are lying to us, I don't understand how there could be any objection to an honest investigation, because if there's nothing there to hide, then an investigation is just going to shut us up. So, you know, I don't really understand what the problem is with an investigation. However, as I was pondering the issue, and knowing that I wasn't getting any real response of any import from these officials, it just dawned on me But, you know, Dr. Kate gave us the tools here all along. I just applied the tool from the wrong perspective. You know, the misprision of felony, everyone in this country that watched on April 27th and even footage that was replayed, everyone witnessed the commission of that crime. And inclusive of that everyone were the 535 members of Congress. And so it dawned on me, well, these guys are, you know, they're obviously not taking any time to respond to the fact that, you know, I witnessed the crime. So my question then turned to them. So since the code actually demands that someone who witnesses a crime also report it, I asked for my public, my congressman and my two senators from Virginia to tell me if they didn't, well, if they did report the crime, to supply me with that report. But if they didn't report the crime, then I want them to explain to me why they are not guilty of misprision of felony.
Excellent.
So rather
I
than
thought
it
that
being
was very good. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, rather than it being my reporting a crime, the question becomes, why didn't you report the crime? You're not above the law.
And that was the subject of your second letter that you sent back, which was fairly strong in that. And has there been any response to that?
Not yet.
Mm-hmm.
Not yet.
I just put the link in the chat, and everyone should go ahead and read both of those letters, because I could scarcely imagine, but I was delighted to see that you just moved from, you know, from that post. This prison felony is we're all required to do this. And I believe that, you know, in our... Well, I have a couple of questions for you, and I guess I'll come back to the point I was just about to make right now. But the frustration, I felt it too. Like I was saying in the beginning, I felt like we all just got punked, you know. And I know people were saying, "Oh, you birthers! The minute that thing comes out, no one's going to say anything." But we, you know, it's still so evident that people are not paying attention. Now, what of their many excuses do you buy? Are they, I know they're pretend stupid, so all of them are aware.
I don't know how many of them are actually pretend stupid.
Yeah. Good point. You know, I was trying to offer an out, but, you know, exactly, drop the pretend. And the second
well, but you
is
also
here.
you have to take into consideration what Major General Paul Vallely said.
Yeah.
That, you know, our public officials in Washington know that he's ineligible. They know that what he released was a forgery. They're not touching it for fear of a black backlash, which, you know, to me, that is in and of itself a highly racist remark and a racist
Agreed.
Thought.
And I don't agree with it. I personally don't agree with it. I think that's, you know, I don't agree. And
well, I mean, I know that there are people
I
in this country
wonder,
who...
I just wonder. I mean, I've heard that excuse for years and years and years, but I wondered if, you know, anyone had ever considered the fact, like, what about, you know, the 90 million other of us who, you know, are kind of concerned about this? What about our rioting?
Well, I mean, there are people across the country that because of dissatisfaction over something in their life or something that's going on in the country, you know, might be prone to play that out in violence. But that doesn't have anything to do with them being black.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
You know, and so what we're getting from Congress is this idea that, well, black people don't have the ability to reason this out. So, you know, all the black people in all the urban areas are going to riot.
Totally.
Well, I mean, if they're given the truth, I mean, I just think it's racist to suggest that they can't handle the truth.
I completely agree, and you know, it's does anyone know black Americans, Americans we all who are real Americans, we love our country. Doesn't matter what skin color you are.
Right.
And so okay, that's one excuse that they're using. I heard I know that General Vallely said something else, which was basically the implications of treason, a treason charge against the first black president, of course. The charge of treason brings a punishment of death. And, you know, we can all quibble about how black Obama is, but nobody wants to do that. But everyone knows he's committed treason. So is it really true that political correctness is the only thing that's standing in the way of these people standing forward? Have they been threatened? Do they really just don't care? Or, you know, or is it all of that?
Well, I think political correctness is by and large fueling most of it. But along with that political correctness, there is this complicit right arm, or not right arm, let's say the left arm, of the liberals, the progressives in this country, and that's the media. And the media has successfully positioned itself as the chief ridiculer of anyone who would dare question the validity of Barack Obama's documentation. And so anyone who comes out publicly, who is a known figure, that even asks the question is going to be publicly mocked and ridiculed. Now, we know the number one, the primary job of every one of those people in Congress, in their thinking, is that they have to get reelected. And as soon as they step up to the plate and ask the question, they know that they're going to be so mocked and derided by the media that it will most likely affect their ability to get elected, at least in their thinking. So the Jack Maskell memo provided cover for all of them. They didn't have to do any real research. All they had to do was to take Maskell's memo and parrot whatever he said in that memo as, you know, as pretending to be their own investigation into the matter.
Do you know anything how the CRS works? Like, for example, was Maskell told to come up with that?
That I don't know.
Did he just figure it out? Because that strikes me, for example, as something that that he should be disbarred over or sanctioned because he basically lied.
Right, right. You know, because the CRS is supposed to be nonpartisan. It's supposed to be nothing but fact-based. But then...
Yeah.
So is PolitiFact. Fact check.
Right. Not too far away from PolitiJab, you know. So there you go, which is just terrible.
But
so,
whether Maskell was asked to do it or whether he did it on his own, it's reprehensible that the members of Congress, those in our country who should have the firmest grasp on what the Constitution is, because they're the ones who have taken an oath to support and defend it, rather than knowing the facts, determining the facts, investigating and finding out the facts on their own, they've simply taken Jack Maskell's word for it.
Mm-hmm. I wonder if Maskell would be open to an interview. Probably not on Revolution Radio, for sure.
I'm sure.
You know, or if there's a possibility to get at the CRS through FOIA, because that would be very interesting to find out who told him to come up with that. I would not be surprised if it was Nancy Pelosi, who not only requested the study, but said, these are the things that you shall do, and this is the purpose of this memo. So you shall not mention this, this, or this. And, you know, again...
And she had good reason to do that, because she knew that she didn't properly certify him.
That's
so she had to cover her own behind.
Right. And, you know, she's still, there's no statute of limitations on the fraud she committed.
Correct.
But I don't understand fully their reasoning behind this. And I know we've been having, a bunch of us have been having a conversation trying to get things going, and I know you had a couple of ideas on how to move forward, where we go from now. I first want to say, please, everybody out there listening, take a look at the articles that have been posted and Mr. Haskins' letters, because they're excellent. He has offered them as templates for everybody to use. I know in my blog account of your articles, we did have some people make a note in there thanking you for them and letting them know that they use them. But to read those letters, and we'll be talking more about some other civic actions, but I want to lead in with this statement and then just ask you to just tell us what you think is next or where we should go. We've been talking about doing a press conference, various other things. My reading of what we have right now is that there really is, we have all the authority we need and all the evidence we need, essentially, to remove them all right now, not even with an election, but to remove them. And, of course, going to try to do a citizen's arrest of Obama or any of these other people is fraught with difficulties. But it strikes me that if we develop something like a Continental Congress or something like a Congress for the American Republic, something like your first organization that you had headed up, and we had a plan and so forth, could we win over any military support? How can we? So I'm leading out with that, knowing that we have the authority to get them out. How do we do so? And what are your thoughts about what's next and what you'll be working on?
Well, I think one of the things that I've seen since the inception of this movement back in 2008 is that it has still remained very fragmented. There are factions who believe we should be doing this and factions that believe we should be doing that, factions that argue over, you know, what are the points that we need to hit. And when we get to a point where we're arguing amongst ourselves, then we're never going to accomplish anything. So, you know, I firmly believe in the idea of somehow coalescing behind a vision. And I think that vision should be very focused on the fact that there is a constitutional crisis. And, you know, our duty as citizens of this country is to rectify the crime that has taken place, the illegality, the constitutional illegality of it. We've got to rectify that. One of the biggest reasons we need to rectify that is that Obama's presidency cannot go down in the annals of history of this country as being a legitimate presidency.
Agreed.
What he has done must be undone. Because, you know, whether you agree with his policies or not, they have been put into effect illegally.
Mm-hmm.
And since they are illegitimate acts, whether you like them or not, they need to be null and void. Now, does that present a big job for our government? Of course it does. But, you know, let's get them to do something that matters for a change.
So what you're saying is we need to basically make a citizen's arrest of some kind of the appropriate people, and we need to basically oversee this getting back to, you know, removing everything that he's done.
Yeah, and,
this is,
you know,
where,
we need to coalesce and present a united front.
Yep.
And let it be known that it's not just a handful of crazy lunatics out there, that it is a very large number of Americans across the country. And that number needs to be growing every day, because we who know the constitutionality of this issue need to be educating those around us. Because you can walk up on the street and 9 times out of 10, you ask someone about Obama's eligibility, they'll tell you, well, I thought he released his long-form birth certificate. Mm-hmm. You know, because the national media has this issue so blanketed and shrouded in secrecy that the majority of people in this country who get their information from the national media have no idea. They might have this little notion in their head that there's a small group of people called birthers, but they don't really understand what's going on because the information is not being presented to them. So we need to not only fight against what's going on, we need to educate this public.
Absolutely. It's really the only guarantee of our liberty is to make sure that there's education and participation. So
right.
It is, you know, we produced a very long Articles of Freedom. It only has 6,000 signatures. Is this a declaration of independence? Is this a rally around one thing? Now, you mentioned something that plagues every movement, which I think is beginning to plague the Patriot movement, and that is the divisions on how we think something should be done. Now, for example, one of those is the camp that believes that impeachment is the only way to remove him. And then there's the other camp that basically says he's not a real president. Impeachment.
He can't be impeached.
He can't be impeached. And people
yeah.
get balled up and... You know,
I love what my friend Commander Kirshner says. Get him out any way we can get him out, and then we'll sort out the pieces after he's out of office.
Yeah. Yeah, so right. So that's the attitude to take. If people are going to fight over impeachment or that, it's got to be any way we can.
Right.
And basically push whatever way we can. And I maintain that the first investigation is the thing that gets him out. Because
correct.
Any
oh,
investigation
absolutely.
That's, or whatever, his Social Security number, or it's his draft registration, or it's the forgery, we cannot let the natural born citizen issue go and what that is. But at this point, it is a very, we are fortunate that we have a forged certificate, two of them.
Right.
And this fraudulent stuff, because it doesn't allow anyone to say, oh, you know, it's Blackstone, or oh, it's Vattel, or oh, you guys have to go to the Supreme Court. That's the other thing that we have to, in my view, stop asking permission for. I think there have to be ultimatums. You resign by X, or that's it. We're coming to effect an arrest.
Right.
And
you know, and what you're just talking about Blackstone and Vattel, just to let you know, I had a video that I did. Early 2000, right at the first of 2009, that has gotten about 70,000 views, almost 70,000, exactly what is a natural born citizen. I am right now producing another video that really goes into the meat of that argument that the Obama supporters, the liberals, have been trying to make, and using Mario Puzo's excellent, brilliant research, and then this recent reassertion by Leo D'Onofrio on the argument, I'm putting together a video to try to reduce the argument down so that it will be easily understandable that we do have Supreme Court binding precedent that the definition of natural born citizen is one who's born in this country to citizen parents. So that video hopefully will be out in the next few days.
And then, you know, and then, of course, wonderful. That's good to hear. And then, of course, there's also the damning Senate Resolution 511, which
right.
repeats it, much to Obama's dismay. And it catches them all. But I think, you know, myself, I feel extremely frustrated by just writing. I am... interested, just in our last few minutes that we have here, let me just ask you off the cuff, what do you think about the value of doing something at the National Press Club or running a candidate that will specifically run to challenge Obama on his eligibility? Or is that going to take too long or too many risks?
Well, the candidate idea, I think, takes too long. Although, you know, seeing how things have gone in this country, one never knows. I fear that if he's not removed from office and he's allowed to run in 2012, there is a possibility that he'll win the election, not fairly by any means, but there's a real possibility that he'll win. You know, I don't know what the most expedient answer is. You know, I think that citizens need to rise up. It doesn't need to be a few people that are sending letters, a few people that are writing articles, a few people that are, you know, talking on a radio show. It needs to be every citizen out there that knows what is going on, going to their local district attorney and asking that district attorney what is being done because of the fact that my local representative witnessed a crime, and there's a law that says that if he witnessed that felony being committed, he's required to report it. And so I'm concerned about the fact that my representative has committed a crime here by not reporting it. What can I do?
Mm-hmm. And, you know, thinking long term, I think that the idea of misprison of felony is a very good tool to use in terms of state recall efforts to recall their representatives and senators.
Right.
I know people say that's another fight we have. Oh, you can't do it. Oh, yes, you can. Ah, whatever. Let's find a way to do it, as the commander said. I know you have a short period of time, but I do have Gary Wilmot on the line, and wondered if you might want to say hi before you leave us.
My pal Gary.
All right.
Can you hear me?
There he is. Hi. There you are, Gary, live.
Hi, Dr. Kate. Hi, Dean.
How are you, Gary?
Dean, I wish I could say you did a great job, but I just got home 5 minutes ago, so I'm sure you did fantastic.
I'm not going to say that I did a great job, Gary.
Well, I will. I will. I think you did a great job, and we've been having a great conversation about, you know, the reasons people are saying are not paying attention, the absolute necessity of us continuing to step up, our responsibility as citizens to do this and to report the crime. We were just talking about misprison of felony as a great tool to use as a recall option for states, for their senators and representatives. So, by and large, we have to keep going. It's our responsibility to move. And like I said, Dean, I understand you have just a short period of time, but I sure would like to thank you for joining us. I look forward to your next articles. If there's anything I can publish of yours or anything I can do, please call.
I will do it.
Very good.
Thank you. Thanks for having me, Kate.
Thanks a lot, Dean. See you again.
All right, good night.
All right. Okay, Gary, how are you?
I'm a little frazzled. It took me two hours to get home. I just got in the house.
Would you like a 5 minute break or so?
I did hear about the last 6 or 7 minutes of your conversation with Dean, and the talking points, the things that you guys were discussing is very familiar with me because I talk to Dean regularly, and of course, we're all sharing emails, and these are ideas that are being tossed around all the time. You know, Dean's great, and I'm sure it was a wonderful half hour, and I'm looking forward to listening to it on a podcast. So,
Well, really, I guess starting out here, it was, it seems like because they were successful in, you know, passing by a forged birth certificate, forged long-form electronic certification, you know, some not exactly the wind's been taken out of our sails, but it seems for the majority of people the issue's over, and it's not.
Well, I think I think you're on the same page, and it sounds like Dean is too. The fact of the matter is that we have a man in the White House since his teenage years has been breaking the law. That equals he's a lifetime criminal. This guy's been scamming and scheming and taking advantage of the system in the United States, and he's amazingly got into the White House. The thing that's good for us now, and I did hear you guys allude to it, is that, like you said, he's done us a great favor. He's committed a crime on national television in front of the whole country, in front of the whole world. And if people are not patient enough to learn what a natural-born citizen is, it's not that difficult a concept, but if they don't want to go there, or they think, you know, as long as he was born in the United States, and that's not been proven, but let's just give them that, they can certainly get their head around the fact that he's got a forged birth certificate, he's got multiple Social Security numbers, and he's got a forged, backdated Selective Service registration. Those things right there should be enough for a congressional investigation.
Mm-hmm. And just as we were saying, and I know you heard, any one of those will get him out.
Absolutely.
Sure.
And I am
one
also,
investigation of Obama, he's out of there.
Absolutely. And I concur with Dean and Commander Kirshner, whatever way it takes, just get him out. We'll sort it out later.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. You can call it, you know, my feeling is that I know, you know, there's some prominent people out there that think impeachment is not the way to go. My position on this is absolutely impeachment is not the correct procedure because he's not legitimate. But since Congress is going around pretending that he's legitimate, then impeach him, Congress. Impeach him. And
yep.
When you get into the investigation, I will bet dollars to donuts that the guy resigns because he's not going to be able to withstand the investigation. And then it will be up to the people to pressure the Congress to still investigate him and find out that he's illegitimate, that he's a criminal, prosecute him, and punish him.
Yes, and to prevent the next president from pardoning the guy.
Absolutely.
You know, out of political correctness again.
I'm not interested in having little spats with people on email threads or you know, or on the telephone or on radio talk show. You know, I don't care. I don't care what it takes. Congress needs to investigate him now.
And that has been the focus of, you know, I think our civic action efforts in the last, clearly in the last few weeks and since you got your site up, One Nation Under Fraud, and everything you've been doing with Give Us Liberty 1776. Is the civic action aimed at absolutely forcing the investigation. Now, whether that is, you know, the specific misprison of felony letters or the postcard efforts that Bill has put together, it's absolutely necessary to bombard these guys with a necessity to investigate. The same thing with the effort a few days ago, which still should be open, to continue to bombard the state of Hawaii for an investigation because Hawaii is implicated in felony fraud.
Absolutely.
And this is unacceptable. Any one of us who did any of that, we wouldn't have the freedom to be on the radio right now. And one of the things Congress needs to be reminded of is the penalty for Selective Service registration fraud is you're not eligible for U.S. citizenship.
Mm-hmm.
You don't get it.
Correct me if I'm wrong or if you know, I believe that you're not allowed to ever hold any kind of federal office unless
executive
you're in
office.
Compliance with the Selective Service.
Right, it's the executive office. You can't hold anything in an executive office of the government, but you basically don't have American citizenship. You lose it. And it says that if you're in the United States before the age of 26, well, he was. He came back to the United States at age 10.
You know,
go ahead.
Dr. Kate, the evidence is so overwhelming
Yes,
that
it
this
is.
This man is a fraud and a criminal. It's just common sense. If, for example, if he was born in Hawaii, he would have produced a legitimate Hawaiian birth certificate.
Mm-hmm.
That is common sense. And
mm-hmm.
one of the things that really underscores that, and I know that's something that, you know, we're all well aware of, is that the Lieutenant Colonel Lakin fiasco would never even have happened if he was a legitimate president and a legitimate constitutionally qualified president and commander-in-chief. It just never would have happened.
Exactly. I'm wondering, just sorry to interrupt here, if Kathy's going to call in, do you know if she's on a landline or if she's going to call in on a computer, Skype?
I believe she'll call in on a phone. I did
Very
have
good.
A thing.
Thank you.
She was trying to track me down because I left a voicemail from the car saying I was running late. There was an accident in Malibu Canyon, and I was just, you know, I wasn't sure whether I was going to get there on time. But
oh, boy.
I think she's going to call in.
Okay. Well, anyway, all right. Evidence is overwhelming. Now, putting two and two together, Commander Kirshner's got these great articles that go out, full-page articles. Bill has had this great idea of the postcards, and maybe the postcard piece also has to include each postcard series ought to have, all right, this is a series of postcards on his fraud. One discusses the Social Security fraud. One is quick, down, dirty, selective service fraud. Third, birth certificate fraud. You know, we all produce these great articles. We have great articles that are out there, and some of them can be squished down to a postcard, but most of them can't. But what do you think about that also as a civic action?
Well, I absolutely believe that if everybody would do their part, instead of being listeners and voyeurs, you know, going onto the blogs and going, oh, look, honey, look at the latest thing that they've said that Obama's doing, or he's done this and done that, and he's committed this and that. But if they're just watching, they're not helping. They need
That's right.
to participate. Every single American that has doubts, serious doubts about this man and his legitimacy needs to step up to the plate and do something. And if
right.
it's only 15, 20 minutes a day or an hour or two a week, they need to write to their congresspersons, their senators. They need to try to call in like I do almost every week on talk radio. I get jeered and sneered at, and but I get things out over the air. You know, they call me a loon and everything, but somebody heard it. They need to do things. They need to do, you know, make flyers, go around the supermarket shopping center and hand them out. You know, be bold. You know, this is your country at stake. It's the Constitution. And I've got kids, and I want my kids to have a country that we can be proud of, you know, that has all the values that were handed off to me. You know, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, you know, a secure country, a prosperous country. And that's not where we're headed right now.
Yeah, and it is, as Dean was talking about, it's our responsibility as citizens to do this stuff. And we keep waiting, asking, and waiting for permission.
Well,
you know, maybe they'll do this. We have to force them. And I know everybody is sick and tired of letters and postcards. That's why the postcards, I think, are a really good idea.
Well, the postcards
and the phone
good.
Call.
You can keep your costs down. It doesn't require a lot of writing, especially if, like, Bill has pre-printed them and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
The fact of the matter is, though, is that, you know, I know we're all big fans of ORYR, Obama Release Your Records,
mm-hmm.
and he's got tremendous following, a lot of comments and everything. And he's got one particular follower that is very much involved in civic action, and he has been pounding in the comment section daily to the point where he's losing his civility, and he's, you know, starting to use expletives and everything, demanding, imploring people out there to do something. Stop talking. Do something.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the problem. I heard the tail end of your conversation with Dean, and I do believe that it makes a difference if everybody does it. But I have the sinking feeling that we're still so divided and so that our numbers are just not there. There are too many people that are passive. They don't really they're intrigued about the whole issue. They find it fascinating and everything, but they take the attitude, well, oh, those people out there, you know, that you know are on the front lines. They're writing letters. They're blogging. They're talking. Somebody else is doing it, and these people are not doing it. And that's what's going to make the difference. Because we, as I've said before on other programs and in articles and telephone conversations and blogging and emailing, we don't have the numbers yet. We're not at critical mass. We're just not. And I hate.
No.
I hate to say it.
No, I agree with you, and I think though, you know, as we do our driving around with our various signs and so forth and so on, there clearly is, you know, a quiet concern, if you will, but people are not stepping up like the rest of us are. So this leads me to a couple of things. Several times on my blog, I've had comments that say, you know, we need a birther convention 3 days right now. You and I and others have been talking about the need for something at the National Press Club. And to buy that venue and, you know, basically pay people to get there to get this issue out. And so in the time since you've started One Nation Under Fraud and since we've really geared up on civic action, what do you think of that now? And does it have a role, and who should be there? What's your kind of vision for something like that?
Okay, well, first of all, I'm not a real tech savvy person, so I have to rely on what's out there, you know, Blogger, WordPress, things like that. I chose Blogger, and I set up another blog, One Nation Under Fraud, and the whole point was to have a centralized location, as you know, where people could go and get some ideas on what they could do. If they don't have the imagination, if they're not creative enough to figure out that we need letters for this and that and this and that, they can go there and see it in black and white and go, oh, okay, there's my congressman's address. I'm going to write a letter to him. Even look at some sample letters. Look at Kathy's citizen letter, remember, that we talked about a couple weeks ago. It's a great idea. I would absolutely honestly say that I'm getting a lot of good traffic, considering it's only been up since June 5th, I think. But I don't know what effect it's having. I don't have any feedback. Very little feedback. The reason I mentioned the technical aspect, I would love to have somebody come in and revamp it so that I can create features on there where we can have like competition, or I can get feedback from people, and it's not quite set up that way yet. If I see the traffic continually increase, perhaps I'll be able to lean on somebody and we'll be able to do something like that. That's kind of a long answer. The short answer is I think it's valuable. I think a lot more can be done with it. I'm not sure what effect it's having, though. You know, I'm being honest.
Yeah. And also, I'm telling you, like right now, I just decided I'm going to be adopting the spray paint strategy. And I'm going to get a can of spray paint and make some banners to drop, a banner drop. I just on the side, I've been doing building a website as a business, and one of the aspects of that is chemtrails. And when you look around at how people are fighting back on chemtrails, they're doing banner drops, taking spray paint, you know, and letting people know that there's a big, huge problem. And it's that kind of, in my view, additional kind of work that needs to be done in addition to the letters and various other civic actions. So So there again, I go back to if we can do those kinds of things,
sure.
What now do you feel as well, back to the issue again, is there a role for a national press conference if we had enough time and if we could find a way to really to connect with many, many people? For example, could there be a national press conference or even a meeting in front of, well, I won't go there right now, but with a number of other groups as well who see this as just one part of the constitutional crisis we're facing.
Well, you threw out a lot of stuff there, and my mind's racing. First of all, with regards to the spray painting, the dropping of signs, and that kind of approach, I was leaving my house to go to church on Sunday morning, this past Sunday, and as I turned the corner, I live in the suburbs. I don't want to imply that I live in the rural area, but I do live in a kind of a semi-rural area, a lot of horse trails and everything, and there's hills, and I tend to look up, and I saw a small plane flying right across about, I don't know, it's hard for me to guess, but maybe 500-600 feet up in the air, 700 feet, and it was like a Cessna, and it had a big, bright red banner, and it against the nice, clear blue sky, I mean, it just blasted out the message. It said State Farm Insurance. And
mm-hmm.
I thought, oh, my gosh, if that was only something that said Obama's birth certificate is a forgery or something like that. Because
So, for example, at sports events, like I had a post a few weeks ago.
That was one of your ideas.
Yeah, exactly that, sports events and perhaps we need to be seeking donations or whoever can, because I know that some of those plane operators out there are not happy with Obama, would probably be very happy to donate a half hour time pulling
right.
a banner.
Right.
But
that
these
might
are
be a
those.
I just want to, you know, it doesn't necessarily have to be over a sporting event because I
good
literally
point.
Live in a valley, a classic valley, that if you looked at it from the air, it's a small valley. It's just looks like a valley, completely surrounded by hills. And the population is about 125,000 in our valley. And that plane was probably just flying around the valley that I live in because State Farm has a big corporate office in the center of the valley. And so not everybody's outside. Not everybody's looking up at the sky. Some people have got their heads into their pads. What do you call it? iPads and reading a book. And you know, but I mean, a substantial number of people would have seen that banner. It's not like I'm in an unpopulated area. If you go over the valley into the big valley, the San Fernando Valley, you're talking over 1 million people in that valley. I mean, can you imagine a plane flying around that valley? You could fly around the San Fernando Valley in an hour, and there's a population of about 1.2 million people in the valley. Obviously, they don't all see it, but, you know, what the heck? There's a lot of people going to look up and see that banner. It's just as good as a sporting event.
Yep. No, let me... Great.
Well,
everybody...
I was going to also respond to... There was something else you said. Oh, about the National Press Club.
Yes.
I don't know how the National Press Club works, but I do know that Larry Sinclair spoke at the National Press Club and did get some publicity, and that's pretty bizarre. So I would assume that something like that could be done, but then again, you've got to worry about, you know, who reports it and how does the story get out. My gut feeling, it's just, you know, everybody's got their own opinion, and I hope the people that are listening, you know, tonight or in the chat room, they're trying to be creative and think of ideas too, because just because you and I are talking about it, we don't have all the answers. We want people to come up with ideas. I still believe, absent this thing really taking off with the population through whatever means, I kind of feel that it's going to take somebody like a Trump or a congressperson to break off from the pack and just be daring and expose what they know. I just feel that it's going to have to be somebody like that that's going to get the media attention. And if they get some media attention, a certain percentage of the population is going to get, you know, hear about it. And then I think it's kind of spreads from there. The classic example, and it's old news, you know, it's old news. It's something I tried way back in October when the Lakin trial was going to be, the court-martial was coming up. I wrote a very lengthy letter/article, and I even mailed it to her home address, Sarah Palin. I appealed to her. I said, she's always talking about the military, support the military. I thought, what greater way to support the military than to expose what they were doing to Lakin? And she did nothing. But if she had called, I said, you should quit your job. You should tear up your contract with Fox, stand up for the Constitution, stand up for Lieutenant Colonel Lakin, and speak out for America and do what is morally right and constitutionally right. And my article was called A Politician or Patriot. And I like Sarah Palin to a large extent, but she did nothing. She didn't respond. She didn't do anything. And she still goes about her daily business, you know, knowing full well that we have a usurper in the White House. And I must admit, you know, it makes me feel really bad about all these people, even the, you know, Bachman and some of these other conservatives that, you know, we may want to throw our support behind, but they're not really supporting the Constitution because they know the truth and they're looking out for their own self-interest. The fact of the matter is that if Sarah Palin had spoke out, Obama would be out of office by now. And she'd be a hero like you would never, you know. But I don't get it. There's some massive conspiracy out there that's keeping people's lips sealed.
Well, like I asked Dean, you know, what do you think is the main reason? Is it really his backers that are so powerful that everyone's cowed and threatened? Is it a combination of that and just plain fraudulent, knowing they have an agenda, they want to do something? Is it pretend stupid? Is it, you know, I think Dean ended up agreeing, I think we both ended up agreeing that political correctness was probably about 90% of the problem.
Well, it may very well be, and I'm going to, you know, the short answer, I can be very chatty, and I don't mean to, you know, but be overly verbose, but I do believe that I don't know the answer, and that's the great mystery. It's hard to imagine that you could have 535 elected officials in Congress, 100 senators, 435 representatives, and not one of them will just step up to a mic and say, you know what, I can't go along with this crap. I got to speak the truth. I've researched the issue, and we got a serious, serious problem. I believe we have a usurper in the White House. I'm stating it in public, and I'm doing it because I care about my country. I care about my country more than being reelected to this position. I need to speak out on this, and not one single solitary soul will say anything. And a matter of fact, this gets to the other thing, thought that ran through my mind while I was waiting to come on, and I'm sure you kind of discussed it with Dean, is that lately we've had a concerted effort amongst the whatever numbers we're talking about, writing to Congress, targeting Boehner and targeting some of these idiotic senators like Warner and Bennett, and their responses, their form letters, the ignorance, the stupidity, or the calculated derision that they show towards their constituents, it's beyond the pale. These people show no respect for the American citizens at all. They show no respect for their constituents. And it's just mind-boggling to think that all 535 people take have this mentality and are taking this position. It seems to me that somebody's pulling their chains. Somebody's controlling them. I don't know what it is.
And that's beyond the Maskell, the Jack Maskell memo.
Right.
Congressional
research.
Because
they've put on notice about that in plenty of letters now. I've seen these letters.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and, you just got to wonder. And the other way, thing I want to do is turn it against him, just like Dean has right now, is why shouldn't you be accused of, you know, convicted of misprison of felony right now?
Absolutely.
And as what I was telling Dean in the later part of his part, I really believe that we have all the authority we need right now to get him out. Because they've just so violated and perjured themselves that even beyond an election, you know, none of these incumbents ought to stand for re-election at all. And
no, but it's a little bit of a catch-22, and I think you'll agree with me. If, for example, we characterize ourselves as being on the right, slash conservative, perhaps Republican or, you know, independent or whatever, but we obviously lean way, way far away from where Obama's taking the country. If you boycott all our candidates, you don't fund them, you don't support them in any way, then we've got 100% Marxist country, don't we?
Mm-hmm.
Kind of an awkward situation.
Mm-hmm.
But these people, make no mistake about it, my congressman, he's been in there 22 years. That's 11, I believe I've got it right, 11 two-year terms. He sits up in this palatial house down the hill from me, up on top of another hill. I can see his house up there. It's probably 6,000 square feet. And politics has been really, really nice to this guy, really, really good. And he's a career politician. He's lucky. He's in, the area I live is predominantly Republican, although it's becoming bluer and bluer because of the influx of Mexicans and illegals, et cetera, et cetera. You know, when I say illegals, you know, a certain percentage of them are voting. Make no mistake about it. Mm-hmm. And this guy, I've written 3 letters to him. And they've you know, you've seen some of my writing. It's really blunt and to the point, and I told him that, you know, what he's doing is in violation of his Constitution, his oath, and, you know, the Constitution and his oath, et cetera, et cetera. I haven't had one response. I've tried to set up 2 meetings with him, and I made the mistake both times of saying what the subject matter was, and I got no return phone call from his staff. Look at what David LaRocque and Neil Turner did down in San Diego County.
Mm-hmm. With Bill Bray.
Yeah, Bill Bray. What a joke.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, you're right. We have all the tools, but we don't have a judiciary that will, do their job.
Right,
you know,
and we don't have a police officer that will accompany us or FBI to achieve the arrest. So we're back to what Dean has suggested, is basically we get this guy out, and what Commander Kirshner said, get him out, we'll sort out the rest of the stuff later, and then make our Congress do their work and, you know, over the next few years, dis-elect them, the ones,
right,
get those guys out, but make them do their work. And it's, in my view, it's almost like they all need a chaperone. You know,
yeah,
they all need a patriot chaperone who's going to be right there and monitor their activities. So,
yeah, I don't know what the answer is. I mean, I've written my fair share of letters, but I could write more. But then I work and I blog, and I'm spending, you know, I don't want to exaggerate, but I'm spending probably 20, 25 hours a week on this issue, you know, and I got a family and a job, you know what I mean?
And a job. Mm-hmm.
I know you are, too, and there's a
mm-hmm.
bunch of people do it, but there's people out there that are listening right now that are just listening, and they're just looking, and they're just wondering what's going to happen next. You got to help us. You got to do something. You know, even if you plagiarize, I mean, Dean has offered his letters and said, just use it, you know?
Yep.
Use the words that are in there. Just change the names. Who cares? Do it,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Mm-hmm.
And which makes me also want to bring up, because I got a feeling maybe you'll want to mention this too, is Mickey Booth has been kind of like pushing
Freedom Jamboree.
What is it called, the Freedom Jamboree?
Freedom Jamboree,
yeah.
It's, I guess it's a gathering of Tea Party or something.
Right, but apparently a lot of birthers are going to be there, you know, and I only wish that, you know, the Tea Party would have long ago focused on constitutional issues, namely the usurpation of the presidency of the United States, instead of worrying about budgetary fiscal type items, because they were a force to be reckoned with in that first year, and they could have, they were getting a lot of media and everything like that. But the people that I talked to, they say we don't want to touch that issue. So
right, it got hijacked with. Because the original Tea Party was all birthers.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
The original 9/12 march, and then you know Glenn Beck went off and did his own thing. So there's been an action to try to divide and so forth and so on. But there again, now is that a place to have a meeting to plan strategy? Is that a place to try to get on the agenda? Is that a place where any of those people, like Michelle Bachmann and Herman Cain and all these people, are going to be there? I mean, how are they going to listen to us?
Well, I don't know. But before I try to answer that question, it looks like Kathy's trying to get in. She's in the chat room.
All right. Is she on Skype?
I don't know. I never knew that she was on Skype.
Okay. Let me see if I can get her in. All right. Let me see.
I know she's done a lot of work lately, and I know she'd like to put in her two cents.
Kathy.
Yes. Can you hear me?
Oh, my apologies. I was looking for your area code, and all I found was 111, which was Skype.
Oh, didn't you get my 719 email message?
No, all I'm seeing is a 111 right now.
No, I sent you an email message earlier, RSVP, and letting you know that my area code is 719.
Rats, I have my email shut. My apologies.
Oh.
Good evening. Well, I am sorry, so let me shut up. Go ahead. You've been listening to our conversation. Please jump right in there, Kathy. My apologies, everyone. This is Kathleen Gatto, originator of that terrific citizen's letter objecting to the overthrow of our Constitution. So
and a
please
real fighter,
go ahead.
I might add.
Yeah.
Well, you know, not much has happened since then. I tried to get people on my own personal email to participate. I got one person reply back, who said that to count her in, but then I never heard anything more from her. I don't know if she's done anything or not. So, I mean, it's very disheartening. I just have to chime in with what Dean was saying earlier and what Gary and you were both saying, that, you know, we need others to jump in and help. And if they don't, then when this country goes down the tubes and the Marxists are at the door, you know, they're getting closer and closer all the time with every stroke of the pen, another executive order today bringing on Agenda 29 from the United Nations, hitting the rural areas. This is scary stuff. You know, people aren't going to care, I guess, until it affects them personally, either in their pocketbook or their loss of freedom. But then it's going to be too darn late. So
it certainly is.
You know, it's really frustrating because this affects all of us. This is our country, and I think I've heard this mentioned again tonight, but it's so true. I think Gary mentioned it. We're all in this together, but everybody seems to be, other than a handful of people, they feel like either there is no real imperative problem or else somebody else would take care of it or we are exaggerating or I don't know what the issue really is, but there is a blindness.
Well, I think some people
there.
Are exhausted. I think some people are exhausted, and I think you will agree that every time we get close to the issue of his usurpation, a million other big diversions show up. And it's, you know, I know what they're doing. They're trying to run us ragged. But I think it's all of it, exhaustion. I think people want to let other people do it. Again, where are the people who understand what the responsibilities of citizenship really are?
Well, you know, after what, how many decades of Marxist socialist professors in the classroom. I remember back in the 70s when I was just in junior college. I remember, of course, I can reflect back now and know what was going on, but at the time I didn't realize what the indoctrination was. But so, I mean, we're going back, what, 3 or 4 decades or maybe longer ago than that, where, you know, the education of the American public, it was the frog being put in the water slowly. they were inculcated to believe certain Marxist, socialist doctrines without calling it that. You know, look at the homosexual agenda. Oh, my gosh, you know, there used to be a saying years ago, well, you can't legislate morality. Well, now we're legislating immorality. It wouldn't be so bad if people just took their sexual orientation and kept it in their own home or whatever, and it's their own personal business. But no, they have to try to shove it down people's throat as if it's the norm. And they're destroying marriage and exalting homosexuality. I mean, there's something really, really wrong with that picture.
And, you know, with respect to all of those are issues that have divided us and have prevented us from seeing that the true assault is really constitutional. You know, they have jarred our senses, which
right.
is exactly Alinsky and Cloward Priven, is to rub raw those emotions when, in fact, all of those things should not have any national dialogue.
Oh,
at
no,
all.
No kidding. I know.
And for all of us to work in our communities to be moral people. And, you know, because the Republicans have jammed things down everybody's throats just like the Democrats. And so at this point, I remember being asked, for example, you know, when we're just focusing on just, for example, what a Tea Party is, and everyone's saying, well, what's your position on gay marriage, and what's your position on abortion, and what's your position on all of this? It's just, can't you have one position, which is basically on the Constitution? Because if you focus on that, these other questions really fall by the wayside and are irrelevant to that constitutional principle.
Well, the Constitution is what's standing in the way for the New World
That's
Order.
That's exactly right. So we're talking tonight about our primary effort, and I think we're going with the motto of Commander Kirshner, which is, get him out any way we can. We'll sort out the mess later. And we were just talking about the Freedom Festival and other efforts. What in your mind is going to develop, if you will, the critical mass? We've talked tonight about really the need for all of us to keep educating each other, to keep doing these civic actions, to do what we can. Is there anything else you see that would launch this in a way that would galvanize the public to really move? Gary spoke eloquently about one courageous person being able to do this.
Well, one courageous person could make the difference. There's no question about it. I mean,
mm-hmm.
if an Alan West called a press conference tomorrow and said, you know what, I feel really bad for the last, 6 months I've been in Congress, I've been keeping my lips zipped because I've been told to keep it zipped, and I'm coming out of the closet, and I'm going to tell you, we got a major problem. We have a criminal in the White House, the evidence is overwhelming, and he has some people there to support him, like an Apuzzo, a Kirshner, some plaintiffs. And they put on a Tates or whatever, and they put on a presentation, a 20-minute video, and they show and they say, you know, regardless of what your political, your party affiliation or your political persuasion, this is criminal, and this needs to be investigated now. I'm calling for an investigation, and I'm putting everybody on the spot because I'm speaking out in public to the entire nation. Something needs to be done. We need to save our country. That's what, you know, that would be a reverberation. That would be an earthquake that would be heard around the country. And that
yep.
story would unravel. Now, he may
yep.
get all sorts of threats and stuff like that, but you know what? That's his job.
He'll be a hero forever.
Exactly. Of course he would.
He could walk into the presidency. He could walk into anything he
sure.
wanted
and
to.
And he's black.
Whoever that person is.
And he's black, so they can't play the mm-hmm. race card.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but
you know
I wonder if he would do it.
There are people that have written to him, and they don't get any response. And
yeah.
he was just on Hannity when I was driving home on XM Radio. I listened to Fox, and I was listening to Hannity. He was interviewing West, and West was saying all the right things, very eloquent. He was knocking Obama's speech tonight and everything and criticizing him and blah, blah, blah. But still calls him President Obama and gives him all this mm-hmm. respect, you know, and I'm thinking to myself, crying out loud, you know damn well this guy's a lifetime criminal. He's stolen the office. He's destroying the country, and you're just kind of like, you know, going along, you know, half-assed, you know, like, you know, it's okay. We'll take care of him later, you know. Don't be so sure.
Mm-hmm. And the same with Michelle Bachmann.
Absolutely.
You know, he's a one-term president, and I'm going to do everything I can to repeal Obamacare.
You can get Obamacare tomorrow.
You can get rid of it right now by acknowledging that nothing he's signed has been legal. And then this, of course, is just horrific for our troops. And that's what I just, that's another thing that I don't understand is where the military has been on this and how we get there. Do we start sending them postcards? You know, what do we do with those guys? Or are they waiting for us? Or is it too late?
It's not too late until, you know, until we're 6 feet under, as far as I'm concerned.
Same here.
Yeah, you know, we have to fight for our kids and for, you know, grandchildren, for future generations. I called in to a guy named Spencer Hughes. He's a talk radio host. He comes on at 3 p.m. in the afternoon Pacific time, so 16. And I got on the air last week and twisted the conversation around it. And as soon as I said Obama is destroying the country on purpose, he got rid of me, and he was very derisive. And I've had a very normal conversation with him before on other issues, but he immediately dismissed me as some sort of loon. And that's because his management says you don't let those people get a foothold on your station and get that stuff out on the air.
Mm-hmm.
This is what you're dealing with. And this guy, mm-hmm. you know, when you listen to these people, you get to know a little bit about who they are and everything. Apparently, he's in his second marriage. He lives up in Sacramento area. Apparently, he's very in love with his wife. He's got 6 kids by 2 marriages. But he is prostituting himself to keep that talk show host job on Fox Across America News, whatever it's called, because he needs his $80,000 or his $120,000 job. And he's got, you know, a little bit of prestige in the community, and, you know, he's a little bit of a name and this and that, and it's a good job. You know, he's worked his way up in the media, and that's his job, and he's satisfied. But he's a prostitute. He's selling his soul out because he knows damn well what the truth is. If these type of people that run these talk shows, they have a curiosity about current affairs and world events, politics, etc. They've taken the time to research it, and they know the truth, but their management tells them you cannot let callers get in and get that stuff out on the air. And you cut them off, and you not only cut them off, you insult them and deride them and say, I don't respect that guy was a birther. We don't go there, you know, conspiracy theorists. This is what we're dealing with.
Yeah, and, you know, the WND put up an article today about the supposed expert that Fox News didn't verify the birth certificate, that it was valid. But, you know, a little bit too late here, you know.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So Kathy, what do you see as the next items, and do we gain, you know, we need that one courageous person, so more than probably a national press conference. We need that one courageous person. I just don't know who that's going to be.
A courageous person who has some visibility, you know,
yep.
nationwide. And I'll tell you, I don't see anybody on the horizon. You know, what I think it's going to take is some sort of catastrophe to hit this country. I hate to say it, but I mean, that's just my feeling. Maybe I'm just... And normally I'm a very optimistic person, but I'm not optimistic on this issue, even though I keep fighting, because I have to do what I can in my own little sphere, whether it's...
Well, we have major military exercises going on right now. There is a major disaster in the Missouri River Basin,
mm-hmm.
which is disaster for all of us. That's going to be food. That's possibly a nuclear disaster that's occurring. This is all very well planned out. And what I'm afraid of is frankly, the disaster's already happening, and they're just on the border here waiting to just swoop in the minute we go to bed tonight.
But why are all the other politicians that supposedly lean to the right, supposedly, why are they just standing and allowing all this to happen?
That's my question.
Yeah, why don't 25
why?
Republican
Is it strictly
leaders,
intimidation? Is it political correctness?
Say,
is it
enough is enough. We're not going to put up with this garbage.
Yeah.
Who the hell do you think you are?
You know,
they can concede that he's the president, he was elected, but you're not going to destroy the country right in front of our eyes.
Well, look at, for example, Denis Kucinich. He's suing the president on Libya. No, you don't sue the president. You have the authority in Congress to basically
cut off the
mission.
Right.
And Boehner is saying that now we don't approve of the mission. But what did they discuss on the golf course? What game are they playing now? What's Obama going to give up?
It's shameful that he even went out on the golf course with that guy.
Well, I agree. And then, you know, great, we're going to withdraw 10,000 troops from Afghanistan, but guess where they're going? They're going to go right over to Libya. He's going to do whatever he wants with our guys.
He does whatever he wants every day, 24 hours
yep.
a day. He does
yep.
whatever he wants.
That's the seriousness that we're in. Well, we have about
in our eye every day, and he's taking great delight in it, and his wife.
Yep. Oh yeah, oh definitely.
They're definitely.
Who was it? Somebody saw a bumper sticker that said, Barack 2012, Michelle 2016, and almost drove off the road.
Oh my gosh.
Well,
I know.
By the way, I heard somebody. I could, if I had a minute to think, I remember where I heard this. I think it was a guest, a caller, called into Brian Kilmeade yesterday morning, and they were talking about wonderful Republican tickets. And this guy calls in. He goes, "The winning ticket, Brian, absolutely is Paul Ryan and Marco Rubio. That they'll win in 2012, no problem." Da da da. And I'm thinking to myself, yeah. You don't know that Marco Rubio is not a natural-born citizen, and Brian Kilmeade may or may not, and they just play the game.
Right, and I have to repeat what somebody just said in the chat, which is basically the Republicans are also in the tank with the New World Order.
Absolutely.
And so they will play the diversion game as long as they can, but we can hardly find anyone that's not in the tank with them. They're passing all this Agenda 21 stuff, and so there you go. So we have about 2 minutes left. Please, both of you, give us something inspirational to take home this evening while we write our postcards.
Go ahead, Kathy. I've spoken too much.
Oh. Well, it ain't over until it's over. So, you know, as long as we have breath to draw, those who are so inclined, just stay in the trenches, do what you can, stay close to the Lord is what I say. Because that's where our real hope is in Jesus Christ. It's not in government, and I think those who are believers will recognize that he is our source of safety, and we're safe in him regardless of what happens. And in the meantime, we do whatever it is he calls us to do with the with the talents and gifts he's given us. Excuse me. And so that's my inspiration to all believers is to stay true to him. And to your beliefs
much.
And keep fighting.
Thank you so much. Gary?
Well, I agree with Kathy 100%, and I can only reiterate what we talked about earlier, that we need help. It can't be done with a small group of people. If every single person would do just one thing a week, we would win this battle easily. So, you know, don't just sit out there and listen. Don't just go to the blogs and read the latest, eligibility and this article and that article. Do something. You know, arm yourself with that information and write a letter, hand out some flyers, send out some postcards, talk to some people. Talk to some people and engage some people in the public, email. You know, get some email addresses of media. And just email the Doug Vogt's report on the forged birth certificate. It's a digital attachment, a file. Just email them to 100 people a week.
Can I put a plug in for the grade, gradegov.com? it might not do any good for the congressman, but it sure highlights anybody who gets on there why you're giving them a great F.
Yeah, we
all
need
right.
to we
great
follow
dog,
up on.
One Nation Under Fraud, Give Us Liberty, 1776. Kathy, Gary, Dean, thank you so much for joining me this evening.
Thanks,
sure, thank you,
Brady.
Thank you.
Okay. Good night.
Bye-bye.